February 7th, 2023, 4:00 p.m. Open Meetings Act. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. And we ask that the public not interrupt the directors' discussion and action. Thank you. Quorum call.
Well,
here.
Bonnet.
Here.
Jack.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Chairman.
Here.
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So move.
Who's the second?
Second.
Okay. Roll call.
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Chairman?
All right. Item number five, proof of publication of meeting notice. We have proof of publication, which will become part of the permanent record. Item number six, NEAT Trail Connections presentation. Eric Williams and Mark McLaughlin, RDG.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me out there? Yes?
No? Nothing out there?
It's like maybe the speakers in the other room are not working.
We can hear you.
We'll get started in here, and audience, I'll try and speak loudly. Good afternoon, everyone. We have a non-action item update presentation about a conceptual study that the NRD conducted with MAPA using some federal funds to evaluate the opportunities for short trail connections across the metropolitan area. The name of the project was the Neighborhood Expanded Access to Trails, or NEAT study. This was contracted to RDG, and Mark is here to present about the results of the study and kind of talk about what things we were looking for in the study and where we might be headed in the future with some of the conceptual work and how this might translate into future trail design and construction projects. And so from here, I'm going to hand it over to Mark and let him talk about the work that we've done over about the last year.
Thank you, Eric. As Eric mentioned, I'm Mark McLaughlin. I'm with RDG Planning Design, and I'm really glad to be here to kind of present our recommendations and what we've been working on the past year on these conceptual designs. So for this short presentation, I'm going to give you a quick project overview of what we've been doing. I'll go over in a little bit more detail kind of our 8 recommendations, and then talk about future steps, and then we'll answer any questions you may all have. So who was all part of the project? Well, first, as Eric mentioned, it was the Missouri Papio, the Papio Missouri NRD, along with MAPA. The consultants were RDG Planning and Design, along with Earhart Griffin and Associates, doing some engineering consultation for us. We rounded it off with a steering committee that had people representing Modeshift, Spark CDI, Canopy South, the City of Papillion, and the Omaha City Parks and Recreation. And these people helped provide feedback to us during our whole entire process.
Thank you to all those on the list.
The purpose, as Eric said, is to find neighborhoods that are close to the trails, but due to a pinch point such as a major road, railroad, or undeveloped property, they're unable to access. And so we're looking at those really short, quick wins that help people get from their neighborhood to the wonderful trails network that we already have. So I'll go into each of these process steps a little bit more detail, but to sum it up, we started with identifying potential possible trail segment connections. These are things that had already been in the work, and then we looked at kind of an initial scan to prioritize them. Then we went into the field to do further research, and then we came out with kind of trail layout recommendations that we can take to further design and hopefully eventual construction. So these are the initial 18 routes. These came from the Papio Missouri River NRD, MAPA, as well as other plans that had been in the Omaha metro area. So these are as diverse as looking from how to get from the South Omaha High School to the riverfront, how to get from Chalco Hills to Prairie Queens, how to get from Happy Hollow to Keystone through the UNO. So they're fairly diverse in geography and range.
I see Director Thompson looking at the map. There is a PDF version of a complete report that includes all this information, and we've also developed a GIS-based story map that we'll make available online that is interactive, so you can zoom in on the specific details. We'll make all of that available in addition to the materials you've already received. So if you want to know any more about any of these specific locations, feel free to ask, but we do have more interactive ways to see them after today, after the presentation today.
On our website?
It will be on the website. I'm working with Jen on some social media outreach and then posting something as a news item related to trails. So all of this information will be publicly available after today.
Yeah. Thank you, Eric. Yes, so there is more detail in the final report and on the online things forthcoming. Then we did an initial scan. This was a mix of qualitative and quantitative data looking at buildability, at kind of high-level constructability. Are we facing really steep slopes? Is there the right-of-way available? Is there safety concerns if the proposed route is going next to an industrial area? Then we also gave points for positive attributes. Are we accessing a neighborhood with low-income or historically underrepresented communities? Are we servicing destinations such as schools, churches, other parks? How many people would be potentially served by this trail connection? And could it potentially spark any kind of trail-oriented neighborhood development? Next, we moved on to field tours. This was taking the whole team out there, seeing it on the ground, playing different scenarios of which side of the road might we be on, if we're having to cross a road, where might we do that? And it was very helpful to have the whole team out there in the field for two afternoons to work through these various scenarios. That resulted in the eight recommendations that we have here, which we took them out to neighborhood associations and other relevant groups to talk about their interest in this project and if there would be support for their project. So I'll go dive into kind of those initial design concepts of those eight that I showed in the previous slide. So the first is Applewood Creek Connector. Crow Strain Brewing would be on the left of the map if you're looking across the room. And so this is helping to access the West Papio Trail to the Applewood Creek neighborhood above. This is helping get across Portal Road and then using that repurposed railroad crossing to help get people to the West Papio Trail.
And additional context here, on the top side of the slide you can see a kind of an islet loop. That's an existing trail that is in place now. Further north from there, La Vista has been in the process of constructing the Applewood Creek underpass at Giles Road. So if you've driven on Giles Road and were diverted, they were building a new trail underpass. That continues about another mile further north. And so all of that would come down to the existing kind of islet ends. This project would is conceived to cross Portal Road, reuse the bridge, and follow down Applewood Creek. Just off the bottom of the page is the existing West Papio Trail. So the distance here is very, very short, and there are existing trails on both sides. Again, that information is easier to see in the interactive map. You can see the difference between the existing trails and the future proposed trails, and we'll make that available. But that's kind of the purpose of the study, is to look at where are existing trails and how do we get between them. And this one is probably the most visibly easy to understand. There's two trails separated by just visual distance, but with the big road in the middle, and so the project connects between those two existing locations. And again, the interactive map shows that pretty well.
Thank you. And the next one is a similar situation where the loop on the right side of your map is an already existing trail within the Hunter Crossing neighborhood, and further to the left you have a connection that the Lux Apartment has made to the West Papio Trail. We're doing a help making a connection that crosses West 6th Street, the busy road, using that repurposed railroad crossing to connect that neighborhood's existing trail to the already larger existing West Papio Trail. Here for Minnelusa, we have a neighborhood of Miller Park that has this pinch point underneath the railroad train crossing to get to the Omaha Riverfront Trail. We're looking at being able to develop a little trail going along the Minnelusa Road and then creating a protected trail underneath the railroad crossing that would allow residents to safely move underneath the railroad crossing and then do a signalized pedestrian crossing at John J. Pershing Road that would help them access the Omaha Riverfront Trail. Ashland Park Connector. helps residents of the Ashland Park neighborhood not have to use O Street to connect to the Keystone Trail. This is going on the north side of the Milt's Golf Center and would end at 60th Street. Eventually, the trail could hopefully cross 60th Street and go up the Fay Boulevard Park and then eventually go into the Ashland Park Robinson's Elementary School. This is allowing that whole neighborhood better access to Keystone instead of having to route to O Street with the very narrow shoulder to access the bicycle trail. On West Dodge Frontage Road, this has helped getting from the Big Papio over to Lamp Park. It is using going up to the West Front Dunnage Frontage Road and using that pedestrian crossing to get over. We're also using kind of a low water crossing and a better access to the hotels and the businesses on the west side to be able to access trails for both recreation and hopefully commuting purposes. Florence Boulevard rendering, this would go from Millard Park to Boyd Park in the future, but this is looking at a small segment of how to get across the Florence Boulevard Bridge. It is a very wide bridge, and so we're looking at the ability to create a protected bicycle trail on the bridge itself using bollards and just rearranging the lanes since we have the width to play with. And this would help make that connection between the neighborhoods to the north and south that could eventually be built out to connect to Millard Park and Boyd Park to the south. And finally, close here is Chalco Hills and Prairie Queens. This is from where we're standing at now, using Giles Road and then 132nd to connect to Prairie Queens. The rendering here is showing the underpass and how with rearranging the median, we would be able to provide a protected access underneath the bridge while not having to move the abutment. And finally, the Tomahawk Boulevard rendering. This is from Tomahawk Park, just north of the rendering you see here, down to the Keystone Trail. It would be placing the trail within the median. We all on field tours, there's enough room to be able to put the trail around the trees and around some of the stormwater infrastructure that would allow residents to move from their neighborhood to the Keystone Trail. And finally, kind of next steps. And next steps is for the Papio Missouri River District to work with local government agencies to determine if the 8 priority routes identified in the NEAT study are ready to move to the construction phase. There's also the potential to think about this as an ongoing project to find other short neighbor connections that we can build off of each other, such as shown in that Applewood Creek connector. So thank you again for letting me present and work on this project. Do you have any questions?
I'll open up to directors for any questions. Jim?
Thank you for the quick presentation. And Eric, we worked diligently about our trail connectivity plan. So if you overlay this with what that has, it's got to match, I'm hoping.
Yep.
There's a couple new terms, new streets that I'm not familiar with. But
yep, the connectivity plan generally had kind of longer and probably more expensive projects. The idea here, all of these are very short and kind of quick win projects. But yes, the idea is that this would kind of combine into that, and then we would decide what agency is the best to move a project forward from this concept. Some of those might be best for the NRD. I think Applewood Creek would be a good example for us because we own the land just further south. But some of them might be good projects for the city of Omaha. The Florence Boulevard connection over Stores Expressway is an on-road facility, but it connects between adjacent recreation facilities. That might be a good one to recommend to the city of Omaha to move forward. And so those are kind of the next steps. Is this something that we should lead, or is this something that we should encourage another agency to take take steps on, and then we could potentially cost share? That's kind of what we'll work on in the future as we develop possibly next year's budget and as other agencies develop their budgets and apply for cost share.
And the where the proposed trails were, for example, the north side of Milt, how much of this was incorporating public land versus having acquired land? Is that part of the analysis somewhere in there? For example, yep. Milt's, I assume that's all private land to get to 60th Street.
Yep, so there was conversation.
Ironically, we purchased and gave away so many decades ago. Fred remembers. That's part of the analysis you all came up with, I assume?
Yep, that is part of analysis of higher weight to those that we had right away too, but also conversations with some of the landholders to say, if this came up to you, is it something such as Mills Golf Course, is this something you guys would be interested in?
Okay.
So just very, very initial conversations.
And I would summarize the eight projects here as land rights would be not too we assumed land rights would not be too challenging. In some cases, we do own the land. In some cases, it's in public right-of-way. In some cases, it seems to be very underutilized privately owned land, but with a high potential where you probably can't build on this. Would a trail work here? It seems very likely that a trail would be a good match for the land that was shown in these projects.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 7, interlocal agreement with Lower Platte South NRD for river observation cameras. Amanda?
Hi, good afternoon. So this should look kind of familiar because in December, the board approved an interlocal agreement with Lower Platte South NRD and the Lower Elkhorn NRD for these river observation cameras. So after 2019, the USGS and some of the emergency managers, NRDs, wanted these cameras on the Platte and the Elkhorn River. So USGS put in 5 on the Platte River. And then after some discussion, and they worked great last year, we had discussed putting 3 more in. So in December, the board approved 3 more. That's 2 on the Elkhorn at Winslow and West Point and 1 at Ashland. But unfortunately, the Lower Elkhorn NRD board did not approve their cost share. They were going to help cost share on the Winslow and the West Point, the Elkhorn River cameras, but they did not approve that, even though their staff was supportive of it, and it made its way through subcommittee, but it didn't pass their board. So tonight, for consideration, is the revised interlocal. It's just with the Lower Platte South NRD. And basically, the cost share is up there on the board, but the bottom line is the 2, Winslow and West Point, those that we were going to split with Lower Elkhorn, would be totally absorbed by the Papio, and then we'll split the cost for the Ashland camera with the Lower Platte South. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
We can have a motion on this item.
I'll motion for staff.
Second, anyone from the public have any questions regarding this presentation? If not, directors? Director Patrick?
The cameras, did we at any time maybe discuss having the sheriff's departments involved with these cameras? Or do they have access to the footage or access to the cameras at all?
Yeah, they do. So it's public access. I don't know that there was ever any discussion with them on helping to pay for it or installing them. But they're available to anybody. The USGS HIV, HIVIS is the, and if you just Google that, it'll come up. And they're all across the country. But we have 6 running now. And then there's the Winslow, West Point, and then DNR paid for Waterloo and Duncan, Nebraska. So there's getting to be more of them. But they are all available to the public.
I wonder if they might be a funding partner.
Yeah, I don't think that anyone has really asked them. So far, the agreements have gone through the USGS because it's their software and their programs that put that out to the public.
And the DOT allows us to be placed on bridges, too, so at no cost.
Since we're cost-sharing the boat and the rescue equipment,
yeah, we can ask.
It might be worthwhile for them to be better advised as to how they can utilize those cameras.
Yeah, I don't know their intent as law enforcement, but maybe they have a use for them. So we can ask them.
You have questions? Roll call.
Jack?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Tyler?
Yes.
Hi. Item number 8, construction bids for No Name Dyke. Martin Cleveland.
Good evening. Bill, if we can go first to the map, which is the last thing in the PDF, last item. Just to tell you where we're at first, I think everybody knows No Name Dyke probably is near Valley, but the project's basically located between Maple Street and then also Vondo. So I should have did that. Sorry about that. Which one's for the top one? Okay. Okay. Technology issues for me. Culvert's actually where this red dot's at. It's also where the yellow little banner's at. It's a 36-inch corrugated metal pipe. It's been there about 40 years. And so now, unfortunately, it's rusted. The bottom is rusted out, perforated. And so we propose to align that culvert with a plastic insert and then grout between the pipes, similar to what we did in the big patio and the little patio. Be a similar kind of project. We have received bids on this. Fortunately, received four bids. And maybe go to the bid tabulation sheet, which I think is maybe the third sheet. Let's just stay right there. Let's stay at the letter. It's probably easier to look at the letter. Letter is probably easier to read. This is from Houston Engineering. Lindy Rogers is with me tonight, by the way. She wrote this letter, but the recommendation was to go with the second low bidder. And just to get a little bit of background, there were four bids received, ranging from $146,100 to $194,158. And the unfortunately, the low bidder, as which is usually the case, made an error. They failed to recognize the addendum that we had sent out on the project. So we recommend you reject their bid because they didn't meet the requirements. Which is unfortunate because they're a low bidder, which is usually the way it works. Second low bidder is Nelson Rock, and they were at $176,025. They have did work for us in the past. In 2017, they did about 13 structures on Big Papu, did a great job. So they're a very competent bidder. So what we're recommending tonight is go with the second low bidder, Nelson Rock, and an amount of $176,025. And I'll be happy to answer questions along with Lindy about the bidding process, what went on, and what we're doing here. Any questions?
We can have a motion on this item.
Motion.
Okay. Can we get a second?
I second.
Any more from the public here to speak to the item? Directors?
I have one question. Are there more of these culverts along here? We're doing these three, but are there more than these that eventually will need work?
On the No Name Dyke, we've actually, about 3 years ago, we did two double structure. So on No Name Dyke, there's actually a two-mile-long section of levee. There are three culverts. This is the last one we're going to be doing on No Name Dyke. On Union Dyke, which is upstream of this, there's actually another culvert we need to probably replace in the near future. So that particular levee has three culverts. Two are concrete, so they're fine. The third one's metal that will be replaced probably next year or two. We may do that in-house just to remove and replace. But No Name Dyke, this is the last structure of No Name Dyke to be done. They'll all be, you know, aligned and be 50-year-plus life probably once we do that. So unfortunately, the structure is all about 40 years old. A lot of things are 40 years old, it seems like, and they all wear out about the same time. And
have we always been responsible for these dikes?
We have since about 1990 on No Name Dyke. When we did the Union Dyke Improvement Project in 89, we agreed, a district agreed to add on another 2 miles of levee that was already pre-existing. It wasn't being maintained. It's basically a spoil bank levee that was just out there with trees on it. So the district came in and cleared it, made it into a levee format, actually, with grass and everything. So that was done in 1990 as part of the agreement with the local community out there. You need to add on 2 miles because the 9.5 miles of Union Dyke is inadequate, you know, to protect Valley from basically flooding. And so it's been a good project in terms of, except for the cost of easements and things like that that have occurred, it's been a good project. It hasn't had any really maintenance issues other than just, you know, these culverts. But once we do this, these culverts would be good for probably all of our lifetime, I'm sure. You know,
so the local property owners have no assessment whatsoever as far as maintaining these dikes?
No, they don't. Initially, when we did the improvements back in 1990, They were assessed 90% of the improvements to improve the dike. At that point, the district said it's our responsibility, a local tax levy, much like the Big Papio and Little Papio are all local tax levy money. But we did, at that time, get the local community to help out because it's like we're improving this dike up to a higher standard. At that time, 100-year flood level. So it was a higher standard than normal levees we had in the Papio Basin. So that's one time they've actually helped out with financially with improving the levee.
Were these dikes completely overflowed in the last flood, like 3-4 years ago?
Union Dike, which is upstream of this, about the actual area upstream is near Fremont, overtopped in 2019.
Right.
And it's had a history in Union Dike probably in the last 100 years. It's had maybe 6 overtoppings that have occurred in the last 100 years. So it's a very old structure. Nonium Dike, as far as I know, is never overtopped that we know of. But it's also kind of it's further away from the river, so it's more protected.
Right.
So,
Director Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. More of a comment than maybe a question, but it says Nonium Dike. If we're money here, can we possibly name the dike? Call it Teaser Dike?
There's a story behind that. It was called, we just kind of called it the Platte River Dike at the time. I think the directors were a little frustrated with that name. It wasn't very innovative.
Okay.
And I think Teaser actually had offered at the time, let's just call it Nonium Dike. And the directors actually said, let's move it. Go ahead and move with that. So I think they approved it based on a little bit of a joke, but it became a long-term name.
Say we name it after Teaser.
He's not here.
Teaser and Nonium Dike.
Let's vote on that.
All right, thank you.
Sure. Any other questions? Roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Baez?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Chairman?
Item number 9.
Thank you.
Cramper Lake Water Main Extension Bids. Justin Novak.
Good evening, directors. So I come before you tonight. We had our bid opening on January 26th, and we did have two submittals, and I'll say two fairly good bids, really. So things went very well as far as the bidding side of it, and hopefully tonight is the last night I'll have to come in front of you for this project, and hopefully is the emphasis. So we had two bidders. One was MC Wells, and the other one was Penrose Construction. If you want to scroll down to, I think it's page 3. Oh, page 2. Excuse me. And kind of see the numbers, but anyways, the engineer estimate for this project with contingencies and all the other stuff that go along with it is $339,600. So the one bid was just a little bit over the engineer's estimate, and the other one is it's about $250,000 below engineer's estimate. And Penrail Construction is a good company. We've worked with them before, actually, on the Rosalie extension. They did that water line extension, I don't know, probably 5-6 years ago. So they do have a good work history with the NRD, and they are a local contractor out of Pender, Nebraska, which is another benefit for us on this project, being it's scheduled to take 2 years, but the guys at Penrose think they can get it done in a year, which is even better news. So they've got an open spring, summer, and fall here, so they're really going to hit the ground running with this project. So everything came in good. The recommendation letter is in there from the engineer as well. And I would show you the map, but I think you guys have seen that quite a few times, probably already at this point. But it's essentially it's a key upgrade for that part of the system. 15 miles of water main, new booster pump station, and a new standpipe. So it's going to really increase capacities, and you know, allow for a lot more new customers to be put on the system. And most importantly, we're going to have good water out of Cramper Lake. So I think at the end of the day, that's a huge bonus. If you guys have ever been up there and tried the water, it's not good. So that's about all I have as far as the bidding. It was pretty simple. We had two bidders. So any questions?
Thanks, Justin. Motion?
I'll motion.
Second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Director Thompson?
Director Thompson?
In a general sense, this 100... 100 customers. So on this map, there's some existing customers and some
We're building this for potential customers.
Correct, yep.
How many years out do you think, top of your...
Well, you know, that's hard to say. When you build the water, they do come. You know, I mean, look at the Washington County Rural Water System and how that's really exploded. But on top of what we currently have in that area, it would add an additional 100 customers on top of what we currently have.
Okay. Yep. So this takes care of the existing, and then as this area grows,
yep.
It could be 20 years out, 30 years out.
Could be 10 years. I know there's some developers, some landowners in the area. Andy Lux, he's a big, I'll say, kind of player up in that area. He's got some land adjacent to the lake that I know when this water line goes in, he's the first thing he's doing is going to go down to the county board and try to get acreage communities built. So he can't get them divided down to 2 acres until the water's there. So I know there's quite a few people that are looking to develop as soon as this gets done, which is a good thing for us, too. So we're going to have, you know, more customers right away to help, obviously, offset some of our cost.
Where's the solar farm going to go?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, the solar farms, I don't know. They were supposed to build some in Washington County, and they died, too. So I don't know whatever happened with those.
They're dead yet.
But they're dead.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Justin, can you just remind us, or remind me at least, how far from the lake, from the shore of the lake, is this pipeline, the proposed water line?
The water line, as far as it'll actually go into the, well, you mean from the reservoir, the water line from the reservoir? Off the top of my head, I would say it's probably 100 yards away, in the closest. You know, where it goes into the well house is going to be up above the lake, but when we go from the well house down to below to the lower campground, it'll be closer. But obviously, with some of the newer materials and things, we shouldn't have to worry about any kind of, I'll say, cross-contamination issues.
And might there be proposed from developers and everything to maybe build houses or big cabins 100 yards from the shore of the lake?
Well, it would be on the private property adjacent to ours. So it wouldn't be anything that's within our bounds that we currently own. It's already property that's privately owned. So it wouldn't be any, you know, unless the NRD wants to get in development business, but I don't think we want to.
Okay. Thank you.
So nothing on our property.
Roll call.
Pellet?
Yes.
Pellet? Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Yes. Item number 10.
Thank you.
Oakhorn River Improvement Project Areas Assessment, Eric Williams.
Hello again. This is the annual assessment for the Elkhorn River IPA on the parcels in the area that are benefited by the improvements from the project. We assess a total of $20,000 to a number of parcels on banks of the Elkhorn River. That money is collected into account, and then we use it for protective and restoration projects along the river when necessary. This is probably the last time we'll refer to the flood damage from March of 2019, but that did have a big influence over the budget or the balance in the IPA account. We have now received all of the reimbursement for the federal aid that was expected since last year, so we're going to make sure that the account is all balanced up. And from here forward, we are going to continue collecting the $20,000 annually, rebuilding the balance in the account, so that in the event that additional protection or restoration work is needed, we can go ahead and carry that out. Usually we bring this item in March. This year we've prepared it early in February, but the date of the assessment is still scheduled for March, so the assessment will still arrive to the property owners along the river at the same time that they expect it each year, and then the timeline for the assessment to be due is still the same. So even though we're presenting a month early, it won't be any different for the people who live or own property along the river. So this is mostly a logistic exercise. We submit the documents to Douglas County. They collect the assessments, and then they send the money to us to hold in the IPA account. I'd be glad to answer any questions if you have them.
Thanks, Eric. Motion?
So moved.
And a second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to this item? Directors? Roll call.
Barnett?
Yes.
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 Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. Item number 11, interlocal agreement with Sarpy County for Buffalo Road Project. Kurt?
Thank you. This is the Buffalo Road Urban Drainage Way Project, which we've talked about a few times in the past. It was submitted and approved for the Urban Drainage Way Program last year and is included in the budget for initial funding in our current FY23. Since the project estimate was originally put together, there have been cost increases to essentially everything in life, including the design cost and the anticipated construction cost. When submitted and approved, the anticipated cost was $2,152,000, and the approved amount for the cost share was about $1.2 million. At this time, Sarpy County has identified that an anticipated increase in the design cost and, by extension, the construction cost will mean that the total project cost would exceed $2.5 million, and the cost share is limited to 60%, capped at $1.5 million. So at this time, Sarpy County is requesting that an interlocal that specifies a total amount of $1.5 million be approved in order for them to execute that agreement, carry out the design, and eventually the construction of the project. So this is an anticipated, this is an increase from the anticipated cost when it was approved, included in our budget in the past, but it won't impact FY23 and it won't impact FY24. The increase in the cost is will be added to FY25, and so there won't be any impact to our budget for the first 2 years. We had approved a collection of interlocal agreements for multi-year funding on several different cost-share projects in order to spread out the cost to the NRD over a few fiscal years. And so this is one of those examples. We had approved the interlocal agreement. Prior to execution by Sarpy County, they knew that the cost was going to be higher. They have since requested that we, rather than amending the previously approved agreement, they have requested that we just approve a different agreement. It would be cleaner for them to then approve the same updated agreement. So the only change is just the dollar amount in the third fiscal year and the total dollar amount up to the maximum that the program allows, which is $1.5 million. Again, no change this year or next year, but in that third year, if approved, we would reimburse a slightly higher amount. And there are representatives from both Sarpy County and HDR, the design team. Nothing has changed in the design since it was originally submitted, but be glad to answer any questions if you have them about either the logistics of the interlocal or the cost share or the underlying project itself.
Thanks, Eric. We can have a motion. Go ahead. Thank you. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Director.
I assume that we're under no obligation to have to come up with the full 1.5, are we? I mean, our original agreement was 1.2, correct?
Correct. And so, yes, this would change the original total approved amount. And so by approving the interlocal, then we would, the budget would not change in FY23, current year, and we would not change the anticipated amount in FY24. It would increase what we would include in the budget in FY25. But the purpose of the interlocal is to us, for the NRD, to provide certainty to the local project sponsor that we will include that funding in our budget to allow them to go through what is generally a very long process. From the design process, they will seek a permit. We anticipate the permit time on this project to be relatively lengthy. And so if they are going to go through the design process, this is providing them certainty that we will budget for the cost share in the future fiscal years. So this would not be resubmitted for additional approval in the future. This is us providing certainty to them that we will support the project in each of the next two fiscal years.
Seems like it's a large percentage of our tax collectible income here, $1.5 million.
So not specifically related to this project, but we approved several interlocals on multi-year cost-share projects in the fall of last year. We knew at the time that we were allocating the future funding that usually gets listed in the budget for the Urban Drainage Way program by approving those interlocals. So we are going to send out the cost share letter for the next fiscal year in about 2 weeks. We do not anticipate having a call for new projects in the Urban Drainage Way program because we have approved projects in the past that are multi-year projects. Right. And so we have essentially pre-allocated the funding for the next few years in that program. So we are not increasing the overall amount that we anticipate spending in the Urban Drainage Way program, but we have just agreed that we will allocate it to these few projects that have already been approved and with interlocals. And so we do not anticipate an overall increase in expenditure or an increased burden on the property tax collection needs. We just won't ask for new projects in this coming fiscal year.
All right, thank you.
Director Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was this the project where there was some type of design, but that was turned down? And so there was a second design, and that's what we're sort of...
Yes. Yeah.
So
yes.
To help bring up Director Japp to speed on that, I guess that's part of why, that part of the increase. Is that correct?
So I might ask Vicky to join me from the consultant team who designed this project. There were a couple different designs that were discussed over recent years. There was one that was approved for cost share, and then there was a different design submitted that had a lower cost. Vicky, do you want to talk about the different designs that we have used in the past?
Yes. The different designs that we've looked at in the past was looking at sheet pile stabilization of the toe of the bank in that particular location. We have looked at using soil nails to stabilize that particular wall against the road. And the selected design, which is the cheapest of the three, is looking at restabilizing a bank that is more sustainable along the roadway and pushing it, basically pushes the channel further away from the road.
Can you identify yourself for the record?
Yes, sir. Vicky Trudoklo with HDR.
So Director Bradley, to your question, when we recommended this for cost share approval last year and when we recommended the original interlocal, we did already know that the channel realignment design was the least cost, and that was what was recommended at the time. That is also included in the attachments to this file. So we are not, there is no change to the design since it was previously approved, just the cost increase based on the new estimate that HDR has provided to SARPI. But it is still the realigned channel option. We are not still considering the sheet pile or soil nail. That's not what SARPI County is moving forward with at this time.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Sure. Just to understand the numbers, you originally were 2.1?
That was the cost estimate when the project was submitted last year, yes.
And now that, it's 2.5 or 6 or 2.4, like this says here.
Yes, sir. It's $2.5 million. And part of the reason for the cost increase is just the cost increase from contractors that are passing along the cost increases due to fuel prices, due to labor, and due to the due to material prices, price escalation as well.
How does that translate to your estimate
of almost here, 2.4? So the total price... There is a total price that is allowable in the Urban Drainage Way Program, and there is a total price of the project that is not allowable in the Urban Drainage Way Program. So the overall total project cost is $2.8 million. That includes things like right-of-way and the guardrail replacement along the roadway. Those, the right-of-way and the guardrail replacement, are not reimbursable costs through the Urban Drainage Way Program. So those have been removed. The total reimbursable cost for the program is $2.5
million. $200,000 from... Does that mean it's up $200,000?
Yes, sir.
The request is... And the increase in the project is $400,000?
The increase in the project cost. So what was originally submitted, it was over 2.1, and what is being submitted now is $2.5 million in project cost. I'm looking for the cost estimate that was originally submitted. $2.15 million is what was originally submitted in project cost. That has now gone to $2.5 million.
It just seemed like we were picking up the lion's share of that. That's all I had. Sorry.
There is a note in the bottom of the of the description of the memo. Any additional increase in cost will not trigger an additional contribution from the NRD. We are at the 60% cost share maximum, and so SARPI County indicates that they are familiar with the program maximum funding allocation, and this is the maximum. And so if the project cost exceeds 2.5, if it goes to 2.8, to $3.0 million, no additional funding would be allocated by the NRD. We have reached our maximum. So they are accepting the potential upside risk on all potential future cost increases. And that's part of the program guidelines on our side, is to avoid us continuing to expand our contribution in an unlimited fashion. And SARPI County indicates that they are familiar with that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Yes.
No. Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Hi. That concludes PPO.
Anybody want to take a break, or should we just soldier on?
Let's get her done.
All right. Well, there's not much on this agenda, so the FVL committee will meet at 4:44 p.m. Meeting called to order. We have notification of Open Meetings Act, a copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revision State Statute 84.1407 through 84.1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action, and we ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you. With that quorum call.
Conley?
Here.
Davidson?
Here.
Henningsen?
Here.
McCormick?
Here.
And Vice Chairman?
Here. Adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
So moved by, I think it was McCormick, and second by Conley. Proof of publication of this meeting notice will be
put. You gotta have a vote.
Sorry about that. As you were, go ahead, vote for the adoption.
Davidson?
Yes.
Henningsen?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
And Vice Chairman?
Yes. And item number 5, proof of publication for the meeting notice will be for the public record. And we get into item number 6, Fort Street right-of-way dedication to Douglas County. Ian.
Yes, sir. Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. The subject of this agenda item is a request for right-of-way from Douglas County. This request is for a planned paving and drainage improvement project they have for Fort Street from about 184th and Fort to 195th. So to get a better idea where that's at, we can just jump to the second page here to Exhibit 1. Relatively small area. It's a little over a quarter acre, 0.283 acres to be precise of land that was acquired by the district. It's part of a larger purchase for the WP1 Reservoir, which is an upcoming project. You can see the main components of the reservoir down south of Fort Street, the trail and the permanent pool, et cetera, and then the area that we're talking about up here on the north side of Fort Street for that Douglas County Improvement Project. This right-of-way request was reviewed by staff and the agreements for associated temporary construction easements and permanent drainage easements that go along with that improvement project were also reviewed by legal counsel, and no project impacts were identified by the request. So the recommendation is to dedicate that right-of-way to Douglas County for their improvement project. But I'd be happy to answer any questions about that.
All right.
For staff recommendation.
Second.
All right. Any comments from the public? Staff, directors. Roll call.
Henningsen?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
And Vice Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
We are adjourned.